Hi and welcome. I'm Michelle Marchant Johnson, and I'm thrilled and excited to have you here with me on the Man Panel. And I get the opportunity to interview and feature some of my favorite male experts on the topics of love, dating, relationships, and men. And you get the opportunity to hear the male perspective on these things. And I have here with me today a wonderful returning guest, and that is the amazing Todd Krieger. Welcome, Todd.
Good to be amazing. No, it's good to be here. Thank you. Thank you for
good
saying
to be
that.
Here and amazing, right?
yes. I like to be told I'm amazing. You're amazing too, by the way. So,
thank you.
We were just talking about how amazing you were, but go ahead.
Thank you, Todd. You know, one of the things I teach the women that I work with and the women in my audience is to graciously receive. So I'm going to graciously receive your very kind words and compliments. Thank you. All right. So many of you may be familiar with Todd and his work because he's been on my events before and has some wonderful work out there in the world. Todd Krieger is a marriage and sex therapist who helps couples create loving and passionate long-term relationships and helps single people find their soulmate. And he's been featured on many, many media outlets, including the Fox Morning News, KCAL 9 in LA, Playboy Radio, and was a featured therapist on the show Unfaithful on the Oprah Winfrey Network. And he is also a professor at USC School of Social Work, helping graduate students learn the theory and practice of becoming professional therapists. I just decided to condense that a little bit, but I wanted to mention some of the highlights of your work, Todd. So welcome once again.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we're going to be talking about something kind of exciting here. I think this is going to be an interesting topic for this audience because most of the women in this audience are single, although we do have people in relationships and marriages, and the Man Panel tends to attract all kinds of people that are just curious to learn more about men. But we're going to be talking about the dating paradox, busting through the three myths that are keeping you single. So Todd, let's just jump right in. And you want to tell us, first of all, why you chose this topic, and let's just go for it.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, I think that the more I live, the more I realize how little we know, because we live under so many myths. You know, for example, as a person who does a lot of work in the field of sexuality, I mean, there's so many sexual myths. You know, I deal with men all the time that have live under sexual myths too, not just women. You know, like men always have to perform and men should always be interested in sex. And those kinds of myths can cause so much damage. And, you know, in a broader scheme, being I'm a professor at USC, we talk about a lot of myths people have lived in that have given birth to racism and other kinds of discrimination, sexism, homophobia. So there's a lot of myths that we live in. So I'm really kind of intrigued by that word, myth. And I'm always looking for the myths that keep us down, that keep us less alive than we really could be, and that could keep us less joyful. Mm-hmm. So whether I'm talking about more about families, or couples, or talking about even the broader society, which I have an opportunity to do in my professor work, it's all about breaking through myths.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? These myths can be, they can have such a powerful hold on us because they can be things that have been taught through traditions or through our families of origin or society in different ways. And we can often believe these myths to be truth, even though they're not. And yes, they can really have a powerful influence and impact in our individual lives and in the world at large. So I love myth busting. Wasn't there a show called Mythbusters?
Yeah.
I think it was a show called Mythbusters.
Mythbusters, yes. 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 It's true. There's been a few book titles too with the word myth in it, you know. The Quest of the Mythical Mate is a book that I remember reading back in the 80s. So yeah. Yeah, we want to recognize, and it's true, like you say, myths, we really believe them. We believe them. We believe them like they're real because we learn them. Our brains learn them early on, and we live as if they're true. And so sometimes we're not aware of the problem of the myths, and we're not aware of how much they can affect our lives in negative ways.
And I believe that false beliefs, which is maybe another way to say myths, can really have a powerful impact on what's possible in someone's relationship life, love life, and of course, other aspects of life as well. Because a lot of times these things are operating more underneath the surface. We don't even necessarily often know that they're there. They're not always in our conscious mind. Right. And yet they can be so powerful. So today we're going to do some myth busting. I love it, Todd.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. So as far as these three myths go that come to with when it comes to dating that we're going to talk about today, give me an idea on what your perspective is on why a woman trying to impress a man and kind of give this best presentation in dating is problematic. What's problematic about that?
Well, you know, in trying to make the best presentation we can, we're giving ourselves a message, really. What we're really giving ourselves the message is this: I'm not enough unless the person shows me that I am. So in a way, we're hiding. You know, think of when we present, you know, when you have a present and you wrap a present, it's sort of like the gift wrap, right? So we gift wrapped ourselves and there's the presentation, you know. Now, I know my mother-in-law's husband used to be very creative. He would take a big box of and wrap it up at a holiday get-together. But inside that box was another little box and a smaller box and a smaller box. And it was funny, you know. And finally, you know, what came out was a box about that big. It was a good little gift, but it wasn't this big box. And it's sort of like that's the presentation, and it was humorous. But I don't think that we really need to make a presentation is what I'm trying to say. Because presentations mean, I mean, the reason for that is to hide, right? There's an anticipation. We hide a gift. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. So if I go on a first date, second date, third date, and I'm always presenting myself and hiding my flaws, my challenges, then I'm really not, like I said, I'm really basically hiding who I am. And that's not a good message. It really isn't a good message, you know, and also, you know, so that's the main one. There's nothing wrong with who I am as I am. But the other thing is, don't be deceptive. No, don't trick the person. Typically, when we don't trick the person, if it's the right person, the person likes you more, not less. If it's the wrong person, then you might as well find that out earlier anyway. So,
so I think what you're kind of talking about here is this idea of having the confidence or having the clarity to be authentic in how you're showing up, how you're interacting, allowing someone to see kind of those inner glimpses of who you are. Not that you put everything out there on a first date.
No.
There's nothing wrong with wanting to try to look nice or put your best foot forward. I think that makes sense. But I think what you're talking about is when we're maybe manipulating or pretzeling ourselves into being something that we think this person would want or that we think is expected to us, or we're putting out a different facade in it, that's not really the reality. So an example, you know, one example of this is just kind of a humorous example in some respects, is when you see these pictures online of people that are posting pictures that are obviously much, much younger than what their chronological age would indicate. Right. I mean, it's like, okay, that is what you looked like perhaps 15, 25 years ago, but that's probably not who's going to be showing up on the date.
That's
so it's like using a false, and this is the biggest complaint I hear about online dating from both women and men.
No, that's true. I just did a show and I went, let me update. I have pictures from before, right before COVID, and rather than using my pictures from 2012. And I did that for that purpose. It's like, here's me. Of course, I'm better looking now than even then, but that's besides the
point. Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you're right. I'm not saying, I didn't come to this interview with a ripped t-shirt, you know? I put on a nice shirt, and so I'm presenting myself, but I'm not hiding myself in not putting on a ripped t-shirt instead of putting on a nice shirt. I'm not hiding anything about me. And I think that's really the key. There's nothing wrong with you know, looking nice, if a person likes to have a makeup in a certain way, I'm not saying that you have to go without makeup unless you really want to go without makeup. If that's who you are, then I would say definitely go without makeup. But what I'm saying is don't work so hard. I mean, that's just part of what you do. But don't work hard at hiding yourself. Don't put a lot of pressure on. We're trying to take the pressure off so that you can enjoy the date, hopefully, mm-hmm. as much as you can. And you surely don't want to be the one getting in your own way of enjoying it by trying too hard to present yourself in a certain light or to hide something about you.
Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at the myth here, what is the myth? The myth is the myth something like that you have to be something other than you're not in order to attract the right person. What's our myth here? Yeah.
I mean, I pithily said, make the best presentation you can is a myth. But the truth is, maybe what you're saying is even more accurate. It's sort of like, there's nothing wrong with looking good, but it's like your goal isn't to make the best presentation you can. That's not your goal. Do your best, you know, look nice, whatever. But your goal is to be yourself, is to show yourself. And you're right. And not everything on a first date, that's inappropriate, you know. You need to learn to trust a person enough to share some other stuff, maybe deeper things about you. But really, that the impetus of the date is just you being you. And I know I've said messages like that to you before, but it's like my job is to be me. So if I'm working too hard to be presenting myself, then I'm not being me in some ways. I'm working too hard, and it shouldn't have to be that way. It really shouldn't. I'm not here to impress you. I'd like you to like me. That's my preference. But that's not, my goal isn't to get you to like me. My goal is to be myself. My goal is to... And ultimately, I need to just go into the relationship date, into the date, liking myself. Mm-hmm. And not putting conditions on me liking myself, that's for sure. So then I take the pressure off and I could just be my authentic self. And I could tell you, yeah, God, I was coming here and I got lost. I'm sorry. I could be ditzy when it comes to that if I'm the kind of person that does that. And not to be concerned, not to be overly concerned about making that impression if that's something that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whenever this is a topic of discussion, and I think it's a really important one, Todd, this idea of really being authentic, being real, vulnerability. I always think a lot about Brené Brown's work, which I love and admire, but also, you know, I just think about this idea that when we're real, when we allow someone to kind of see who we really are, like you were saying, the right kind of people are going to resonate with that and be attracted to that. The wrong kind of people, meaning they're not a match for us, and vice versa, they're going to be repelled by that. That's not going to be something that they're really open or receptive to or resonating with. And so one of the things that women talk to me a lot about is that they don't want to waste time. Well, you know what? Being real is one way to kind of get to the heart of the matter a little sooner, which is probably a more enjoyable and efficient way to date anyway. Just saying.
Absolutely. It really is. It really is. You know, so you want to know early on if you could just be who you are. So it just makes so much sense to, instead of trying hard to impress, and that the goal is to make a good presentation, that the goal really is to appropriately reveal who you are, and also to appropriately ask that person to reveal who he is, mm-hmm. or she is. You know, that's really important, and to ask questions. I remember this, and I don't think I've ever told you this, but I remember when I was engaged way too young, and then I got out of it, which was smart, had some good therapy, and realized suddenly that I was in it for safety and not for myself. And so I got out of that. And so I hadn't dated in 4 years. And I was seeing a therapist to help me get out of some of these things, like this relationship that I shouldn't have been in. And I go to see my head on my first date. Okay, great. So I go on my first date. I come back to my therapy session. And he goes, so how was it? I said, it was good. He goes, tell me about her. I go, well, Now I was young, I have to say. I was very young. I was in early 20s. I said, well, she has brown hair, brown eyes. She went to community college. Which one? I don't remember. He says, what else? I said, I don't know. You want a whole date with her and that's what you remember? I go, yeah, I was really kind of focused on trying to impress her, I think. And so I didn't really retain anything. So, oh my God, she says, are you going out again? I go, yes. She says, well, you got lucky this time. But I'll tell you what, your goal in the next one is to not try to impress her. Don't go in trying to impress her. Go in and just get curious about her and get to know all about her. And I said to him, I don't think I've ever done that before. Because I hadn't. I was not who I, that's not the way I would go on a date, you know. I was always trying hard. So I remember personally. So I remember going on that date. What I do remember is when I came back to him, I said, okay, I was going to blame you, but I got to tell you, she has fallen for me. I could tell she really, really likes me. And it was amazing because I was relaxed. I didn't try very hard. And here, let me tell you all about her. And that was a long time ago. We never, you know, we didn't date forever. But I do know that I knew a lot more about her. It was interesting. I think I impressed her by not trying to impress her. And I was funny without trying to be funny at times because I was mainly just being interested. So it was being real as opposed to impressing. And I think that a lot of the women that come to see me that are single, I mean, men too, they're more nervous than they have to be because they're looking at the date as a test of themselves or something. And it's not a test. You've passed the test. You're already fine. Now go just enjoy it. And so easier said than done because we have old programs and all automatic, but we just need to be aware that the more nervous I am, it just means that I'm falling into this goal is to present and to get approval as opposed to just be myself and to experience it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually that authenticity, maybe even that vulnerability, that realness that also allows people to relate to us. Because when we're willing to show that those real aspects of ourselves, like saying, oh, I got lost on the way here, or oh, you know what, I'm always so nervous on first dates, or whatever it is, whatever's real for you, it makes us more relatable because you know what, they have their own stuff going on too. It makes us more relatable, and hence you're actually more likely to form a connection.
Yes, and I do want to say really quickly too, when you said that, it's like when, even though I said, you know, the more nervous you are, the more you're trying to impress. But it's kind of interesting because one way to get out of it, if you are nervous on the first date, because we're human, is just like you said, to say, oh my God, I'm so nervous. The first date with you and, you know, oh my God, I'm so nervous. Oh, my heart's beating out of my chest. I think that's great. It's like, you know, and of course it gives the other person permission to be honest and truthful and revealing as well.
Right, right. So this is a great one. Obviously, we could even talk about this one longer, but we'll move on because we got to get through three, right? Sure. So another one I want to ask you is how do women, or how does a woman balance being sensitive and yielding with being assertive and firm in the early part of dating? So this is an interesting question, and I'm guessing that maybe even sensitive or yielding might even be like trigger words for some women out there. Tell us a little more about what you mean by that and where you want to take that.
Okay, again, the myth was be understanding, flexible, and nice. Okay, so it's of course, there's nothing wrong with being flexible, understanding, and nice. But the myth is when that is, again, the goal, you know, that's the goal no matter what. It's like there are times when it is very important to be understanding, flexible, and nice. However, not always, because sometimes you have someone, the person that you are on a date with, that may need something else besides your understanding and your flexibility and your niceness. You know, you can't. So certain people need different things. So if this person is, let's say, talking a lot about themselves, let me just think that as an example. Person is just talking, the male that you're dating, the man is just talking about himself. He's not asking you any questions.
Because he's probably trying to impress you.
He's trying to impress you because he's got that program locked in. And meanwhile, And that's a good point too, right? That's what we do when we keep talking too hard about ourselves, which was why my therapist back then was amazed that I got even a second date, but I did. I just got lucky. But yeah, so he's talking about himself. And then, you know, listen for a couple of minutes, but then stop after a while. Don't just, this is not an endurance test. So what you do is say, hold it, young man, or middle-aged man, or whatever you are, you're talking a lot about you, and I am interested. I think you have some very interesting things to say, but I also want you to ask questions about me. Now, if that man is trainable, your confrontation of him will go well. Now, even if he goes, oh my goodness, I guess I was, I'm nervous myself. I think you're right. Okay. Tell me about you. Tell me about this and that and this and that. And then you find that for the rest of the date, he's doing a pretty good job of talking about him, but also coming back to you and it's your confrontation has not only taken care of you, but has given that person an opportunity to be the best version of himself. And you have found it out that he is capable of being that best version of himself. If he doesn't, or if he's put off by it, or he just continues to talk about himself, okay, now you've learned something about him. So yeah, you wanna respect your boundaries and find out if he's capable of respecting those boundaries and he could handle you expressing what it is that you want. And you'll be on the lookout for those opportunities to do that. Not every date, not every first date will give you that opportunity, but you want to be able to be understanding, be patient, but not to a fault, not all the way. There's that other side of you. And if you're one of these women that have tended to be a caretaker, a people pleaser, you might go on way too long enduring. And it's not an endurance test. It really isn't. It's not a performance test to see how good you are. And it's not an endurance test to see how much you could handle a person who, in this example, is nonstop focused on himself. But it could be just nervousness and gets over it. And in a way, you're giving him permission to go, oh, okay, this is a real date. This is like, you're being real, I got to be real. Okay. And that can oftentimes shift it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like, enough about you, let's talk about me.
Right.
But I mean, all joking aside, this is a common challenge that happens. The man talks nonstop about himself or brags or doesn't ask any questions about the woman, whether it's on the phone or whether it's on a first date. And I do think sometimes that's nervousness or trying to impress. They've got that programming going on. But I think this one goes even deeper than this example. I think this is a great example. I just think overall, a woman having the confidence and the clarity to speak and to ask for what she wants, to say things. I think it can even be invitational. It doesn't always have to be confrontational.
I love that. It is invitational. You're inviting the person to access another part of himself while you're accessing another part of yourself, right? You're accessing the part of you that can ask, that can receive, and you're inviting him to access the part of him that could forget about himself for a moment and focus on you. I like that, invitational rather than confrontational. I should.
Yeah, because that. I like to, you can have a copy of the video. How's that? I like to think of it that way because I think it's kind of a fun way actually to kind of find out who someone is and how they're going to react and how they're going to respond even to your requests, and it can be as nice as saying, what's going to work best for me is if we make this a little bit more of a dialogue, or it could be something like, what I'd really enjoy is learning a little bit more about some of our hobbies and interests. Would it be okay if we talk about that a little while? And I've talked to John Gray a couple times about this thing where someone's talking nonstop and he said, interrupt these men. Like you said, it's not an endurance test. So he said, you can do things like, wait, now what was that you said? That's an interesting idea. So in other words, you just jump in and say, you've got a good perspective. The way I look at it is blah, blah, blah. And then you just start sharing. So You didn't even necessarily, like, you can just change the trajectory of the conversation.
I think that's great. And even if it turns out this is the last date you go on that with that person, at least you've practiced, you know, being more of yourself. Like you said, like John Gray said, you know, it's not an endurance test. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to say, oh, wait, let me, you know, to feel your power, you know, the power in the best sense of the word, that you're making room for you in this scenario. You're making room for you, and you're inviting that other person to make room for you.
Yeah, I kind of like to think of it, you're kind of inviting that person to step into that highest best self in how they show up. And you're also seeing if they can be responsive to sensitivity to your wants and your needs, because it's not all about one person in a relationship. And I think this is especially important for women, because there are a lot of women out there who do tend to suppress their own wants, needs, or desires. Like even for a woman to be in touch with her wants, needs, and desires, let alone articulate them or ask for them or speak them out loud.
Yes.
Even if the date is only a little bit of practice for something like that, that's going to be a powerful, powerful yes. experience that can help yes. you lead you to a healthier relationship.
Yes, absolutely. It's actually helpful to pause, and this is not easy for people on a first date, let's say, because because oftentimes they are anxious, but to pause for a moment and go, is this what I want to be talking about? And just asking yourself that question. And if the answer is yes, great. If the answer is no, then you go, well, how can I shift it? I'm going to shift it. I want to talk, like you said, let's learn about each other's hobbies. I don't want to just talk about work. Let's talk about hobbies. I want to get to know that part of you too. And I want you to get to know that part of me. That's a wonderful thing. You're right. A lot of people, we have to get in the habit of asking ourselves, what is it that I want to have happen here? What do I want to talk about?
Yeah. 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 And having the confidence and the clarity to be in touch with that, and then to ask for what we want or need. And I think it can, in most cases, be done in a lovely invitational way, unless you have to like slam up a hard boundary because someone's doing right. something really offensive or inappropriate.
I really like the whole invitation. When I use the word confrontational, it doesn't necessarily mean harsh. It means just saying, it's basically not trying to have unconditional harmony no matter what. It's sometimes having a little bit of tension, trying to push the other person in a different direction or make room for you can be a confrontation. But I do like that term, you're invitational. You're inviting the person and yourself to access different parts of each other. So I think that becomes, again, so the dating becomes a place where you can, it's just another arena of your life where you could just practice learning about you, expressing you, and discovering about another human being. And that's mm-hmm. what it becomes, nothing more, nothing less. And I think that is to me that's the highest version of a date. Mm-hmm. Right? No matter what the outcome, it's let's get to know each other, at least to some degree on this first date. I don't know you at all. Let's get to know you this much. And then next time, get to know you that much.
Yeah. And another word you used, Todd, that I also really, really love is curiosity. I think if we approach dating from a place of curiosity, I always tell women to approach dating from a place of curiosity and observation. So you're curious about who this person is. You're curious about who you are with them. You're curious about how you feel in their presence. You're curious about how you feel after the date, before the date. You're curious. You maintain this idea of curiosity. And I also think that helps us from creating a lot of assumptions about someone before we really know them. And then I always, the other word I also say is observation. So you're also in this place of observing, seeing who someone is over a period of time, because that's how we get to know someone, is through patterns and seeing them in different situations and different times and seasons, if you will, of their life. And so when we approach it like that, it's an openness, and yet it's not a naive approach. It's like you're not just on autopilot and not paying attention.
I love that. And you're so right. It is an open approach. It's a humble approach. It's a not trying to control things approach, because, you know, when you're curious, you're just kind of open, and you don't know what's going to come up next. You don't know what you're going to hear. And even if you're curious about yourself in the midst of it, like, is this what I want? What do I feel about this? And you're not trying to control it. You're just open, and you're receptive, and you're in the moment. And you're trusting the unknown of it, all that. So I like that, you know. Yeah, curiosity is one of my, I have a bunch of C words, healthy C words for couples, and curiosity is one of them, and courage and compassion. But definitely curiosity is always in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think curiosity is a really powerful place to approach the dating process from.
Yep.
Also, when we're curious, we're not usually as caught up in our own mind chatter. If we're curious about this other person and what's going on, it kind of takes some of that focus off of us and this little mind chatter that might go on, like, does he like me? Did I wear the right outfit? Blah, blah, blah. That kind of craziness that can drive
you're
us.
Present. You're present. You're fully present. You're not distracted by all those fear thoughts and, you know, just present.
Yeah. Okay, so now this is a big one we're going to talk about here. This is an important one. What would be the problem of pleasing the man sexually in the early phase of dating? I want to hear about this one.
Yeah, so the myth is you got to sexually please your partner from the beginning. Okay, there are exceptions to this rule. There are people that I know where they start out like having sexual intercourse on the very first night, and it worked out, they got together. So I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to lecture on this thing. But what I think, the way human nature is and the way we are wired, we are actually very complex, deep, wonderful human beings. And that sex becomes a little too easy to do in the beginning as a way to connect. And I, as a couples therapist especially, as well as a therapist for individuals, I think it's important to acknowledge the different levels of who we are and the different ways we could connect. And I am totally pro-sex, and I'm pro-sexual intercourse and pro-whatever, sexual. But do we have to do this right away? Why don't we talk? You know, during the COVID-19 times, I mean, where people were guarded. I know my daughter was dating during it. And what was nice about it is they would be on Zoom a little while longer and they got to know each other a little bit. I think, though, we should continue that even as we open up, and that why don't we just hold back a little bit, just so we have not only something to look forward to in the future, but we get a chance to know each other too. And I think that oftentimes women are going to be the gatekeepers in this matter. You know,
absolutely.
Men are not the sexual gatekeepers as a general rule. So it's like, I'll get there if I like you, but I'm going to honor myself. And yeah, I'm attracted to you. So let's kiss tonight, but that's as far as I'm going to go. Maybe next time we'll do a little more, maybe not. Let's just see how we feel. Let's go with it. But what I would like is to go slow with you. And in that process, you have an opportunity to talk, to get to know each other. And it's, you know, look, penetrative sex is intense. It really is intense. And it could take over. And I just think that it's good to slow it down and get to know each other. And, just appreciate the process. And also, I think especially with many women is once there's especially penetrative sex, they get too attached too soon. So they're attached without knowing enough about that person yet. The man is not time tested yet. And so then, you break up maybe, but it's with more pain. You know, it's sort of like it's hard for most women to physically connect in a deep way and not feel emotionally attracted, attached, and connected too. So I think it's just best to take your time, get to know the person, help them, you know, see if they could deal with a no, just like we were talking about earlier. Maybe deal with some sexual frustration. I always joke that a man has never died from an erect penis that didn't get a resolution. You know, it's, he will survive it. He will live. It's okay. Get to know him and let him get to know you. And then when there's a depth to it, then you go for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I like slow. Now, what does that mean? It depends on the situation, but you know, it's nice to take our time there. I think it's best in the long term, and it's also best to have a little time go by as you get to know the person, so you can make a decision without being so that you haven't hit that level of attached yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you're singing in my choir here, Todd, because okay. I can tell you, having done this work now for well over a decade, I have spoken with many women at all different stages of relationships and heartbreak and disappointment and things that didn't work out or whatever. And I've never had one woman say to me, "Man, I sure wish we would have had sex earlier. I think that would have really made the difference," right? I've never had one person say that to me. But I have had many women over the years say, "I think we got sexually involved and that happened too soon. And yeah, that sort of felt like it short-circuited things." It's kind of like sometimes when there's that really intense chemistry right out of the gate, that can lead us to feel like there's a deeper level of compatibility and connection than has actually had time to develop. And I feel like when we jump ahead in the sexual area without having that foundation to build on, more often than not, it can cause things to kind of short circuit. So people are lying there in the smoke, dust, and ashes wondering what in the world happened. This blazing forest fire has now just, you know, burned everything down, so to speak.
Right.
And in speaking with, so you're right about women, you know, from a hormonal standpoint and everything else, we have a tendency to develop a deeper emotional connection when we get involved. And you really, in my opinion, as a woman, part of taking care of yourself is being sure this is really where you want to emotionally connect.
Right.
And so, and also in speaking with men, like on these man panels, some of the men have had pretty candid conversations with me, and they've said, if the sex happens, you know, soon, before there's a deep emotional connection or before I've formed an emotional bond with that woman, the sex can kind of short circuit that happening.
It sure can. It sure can. It could get in the way. That is true. It's the other side of it. It can get in the way, and it's we men can wait. We can. And those that are worthy of your of being with you, the listener, the watcher, that we can wait, and we also get a chance to get to know you, and you get a chance to know us. And it's just more organic. It's just more organic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been a long time since I've been single, but I think that oftentimes men have a certain respect for women that say, "Not yet, let's slow it down."
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because she's in tune, again, it comes back to what we were talking about earlier. She's in tune with what feels right and feels good, feels comfortable for her. And if he cares about her, cares enough to really want to potentially have a relationship, he's going to care about the fact that that's important to her. And I also believe that we can let a man know in a dating situation that we are attracted to him and that we would look forward to that at the appropriate time. We just would like to get to know him better in other ways. Like you started this piece with, there are different layers of a person, and we want to be able to get to know these different layers of a person. And I feel like by doing that, you're building a foundation which not only sets you up for the sex being more comfortable and enjoyable, especially for a woman, but also it also sets you up for more likely to have a successful relationship, for it to go the distance if that's what it's meant to do.
Absolutely. And this is something, and I may have mentioned this to you already, but there's something I learned, there was something called the 3 C's rule. Sounds familiar, but another therapist mentioned it, that that women shouldn't know penetration, oral, anal, or vaginal, until there's commitment, consistency, and caring. So I thought that was interesting. Commitment means some kind of exclusivity, monogamy maybe, you know, consistency that you've been together, you know, dating or seeing each other in some way. And that there's a sense of, you seem to really care about me. I think that's a great rule. I think it's great. I know a lot of women don't follow that rule, but like I have never had a woman say to me, I listen to you, I follow that rule, I wish I hadn't. Not one has ever said that to me.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So above and beyond any, you know, religious or moral beliefs that someone might have around this, I just think there's some really practical reason to take your time on that front, even erring on the side of taking a little more time than what you might have done in the past if you've had these kind of relationships short circuit or blow up on you in the past.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is an important one, and I'm glad we got a chance to talk about this one because, you know, that's something that I think is on a lot of women's minds. And I think there are myths out there in the world about, you know, you got to do it by the third date or you've got to do this or that. I don't believe that. I mean, I've had clients, and from my own experience, I've experienced a man who really cares about you, who's really interested in having a relationship with you. If you're really sharing with him what's important to you, that's going to matter to him. And it takes that confidence and clarity that we've talked about to do that.
Yeah.
And courage. That's another C word. We're on the C words today, are we not?
Courage. Yeah. It's definitely, it's very important to listen. And, you know, the thing is that when you're giving yourself a chance to wait for the other person to allow the sexual intercourse or penetration to happen, you know, you're listening to yourself. I mean, I guess a good question to ask is, if I wasn't worried about what you thought of me, what would I do? What would I deeply, the deepest part of me, what would I want to do? I knew there was something.
I love that.
That was it. Yeah. Yeah. If I wasn't worried about your reaction from the deepest part of me, do I really want to have sexual intercourse with you? Sure, part of me does. But from the deepest part of me, is that what I really want to do right now? It's a good way to go.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great question. I really like that because that helps you go within and get that clarity so that you can be sure that what's right for you. So thank you so much, Todd. These were really, really interesting and fun to talk about. Mm-hmm. I always enjoy our conversations so much. And I want to also give you this opportunity to share a little bit about your free gift, which I think is a bit of an extension of this topic and some keys to help people. So you want to tell us about it?
Sure. The link will be, you know, definitely Todd Krieger, TODDCREEGER.com/dating-paradox.
We'll have the link right below. That is the link, but we'll have the link posted, of course, underneath all of the audio and video here too.
Yes, a 20-minute video. It'll be a 20-minute or so video. I say or so because sometimes when I get talking, you never know. But I'll probably keep it to about 20 minutes, and I'll talk about these myths. I'm sure I'll come up with a few others possibly along the way because, you know, like we started this conversation with, there are myths that we don't notice and it affects us. And if we can spot them and disengage from them, it gives us freedom that is absolutely unbelievable. So yeah, so that it's going to be a 20-minute video talking about this, talking about these myths, and I'm sure a few more.
Okay, that sounds great. So be sure to click on the link below that you're watching or listening from that will take you directly to Todd's site where you can get this video. And I know you're going to want to stay in touch with him because he puts out regular, wonderful content. And we've just barely had time to touch the tip of the iceberg, but you can see he's very knowledgeable in so many areas and really appreciate your contribution, Todd.
Thank you. I always enjoy talking with you as well.
Thank you. Okay, everybody. So thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to pick up Todd's gift before you go, and we'll see you for more of the Man Panel. Bye-bye for now.